So, you know, one of the things that was presented at ASH after our symposium was the big quasar study looking at oral azacitidine. And I was curious what you thought about that, both in terms of the immediate potential application in that trial, but also maybe future applications and maybe a hypomethylating venetoclax combination that could end up being all oral.
Yeah. Well, you know, the quasar presentation at the late-breaking session of ASH was, in an odd way, it's very dichotomous. It was both revolutionary and very sort of not revolutionary. So I'll try to explain. I mean, what this study showed was that patients treated with an intensive induction regimen who achieved a remission and did not go on to transplant, they could get consolidation, and some did, some didn't. If you parked those patients on oral azacitidine, CC486, versus a placebo, they had a strongly significant improvement, I think both statistical and as well as clinical improvement in their overall survival. So why this is revolutionary is that this is a whole new treatment paradigm that we don't have in AML, an intervention that was fairly well tolerated. And it has led to, you know, a new treatment landscape, a maintenance therapy opportunity in AML. So that's really revolutionary. And the implications of this are dramatic. You know, anyone in a remission, potentially you could extrapolate that this could be of benefit post-transplant, post-consolidation, or maybe people who get into remission with low-intensity therapies. The reason this is a little more less applicable today is that, you know, the vast majority of patients in our practice who are fit for intensive induction chemotherapy, you know, they go on to get a transplant. So there's no sort of long-term plan with just maintenance alone. Now, there's some subsets, the good risk subsets that, you know, we typically stop after induction consolidation. So it's not as if everyone goes to transplant. And there certainly are some patients that you induce and then they go from being a good transplant candidate to not being a good transplant candidate. So that's an opportunity there too. But at the moment, like if this were widely approved and at our disposal, I don't have too many patients that I think would fit this exact criteria. But like you said, it's more the sort of like long-term implications. Oral azacitidine, think of all the places we use azacitidine in MDS with venetoclax. We had all these other presentations at ASH after our symposium using it with glastegib, using it with IDH inhibitors. There's all these opportunities to have all oral regimens in AML, and that would be a dramatic shift. I do think that we're not ready for that yet. I think that even though this is oral azacitidine, the pharmacokinetic properties of this are different than the standard conventionally dosed azacitidine. And since despite decades of work with azacitidine, we still don't really understand how it works, I think we need to be really, really cautious about this because it's the same molecule, changing the pharmacokinetics could, I think, change the efficacy. So I think we need to have clinical trials in each of those subsets. But clearly, the implications of this are huge and really exciting.